players are going to go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and more. Do the same thing in basketball, points, rebounds, assists, all that, yada, 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 all the good stuff. It's easy to get involved on Underdog. You know, you can go in there and talk about NFL games. You can play college games. If you're looking at the South Carolina-Clemson game, I think the Lenora Sellers higher or lower on interceptions might have been valuable heading into this game. Maybe just turnovers in general, if that's an option for you. So plenty of stuff to do on Underdog. You can download the app today. Sign up with promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Once again, that's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. You must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. I can't do the disclaimer as fast as Kwok. It's like a test, as he's basically turned into a robot saying that as the year's gone on, but I don't have that in my bag quite yet. Jumping deeper into this Clemson win, I want to start on the defensive side of the ball here specifically and highlight some things that I just thought were fantastic. We talked about it going into this segment. We talked about it closing out the last one. The biggest thing for me here, Ben, was the tackling. The tackling was a complete nightmare last year. It was a nightmare against South Carolina last season. It has been a nightmare for a lot of the season this year. They shored it up. For better or worse, going into this game, you knew you had to figure that out or you weren't going to win the football game. They did not miss tackles. I thought the linebackers played their best game as a whole all year, probably over the last couple years. Sammy Brown doesn't really miss tackles to begin with. He didn't miss tackles in this game. Wade Woodhouse has missed some tackles this year. He didn't miss many tackles, if any, in this game. And the biggest thing for Wade Woodhouse specifically, Wade Woodhouse is not the fastest guy in the world. He doesn't look fast. No one is mistaking Wade Woodhouse for one of these Isaiah Simmons-like linebacker combos that can run out the gym and run a 4.35, 4.440. But Wade Woodhouse looked pretty quick in this game, moving east to west. He looked like he had a beat on Lenore Sellers. He looked like he had a beat on receivers in open space and was able to get to them before anything got bad. In the third quarter, when Sellers broke off his longest run of the game, that 13-yard sprint down the far sideline, Ben, that looked like a touchdown at first. I don't know what it looked like in the stadium, how much green grass was behind him. On the TV, it looked like it was going to be 6 points.
Yes.
If Lenore Sellers wasn't tracked down from behind by Wade Woodhouse. That would not have happened last year. It simply wouldn't have. It probably wouldn't have happened a month ago. So they figured something out tackling-wise. They managed to poke the ball out a couple times and force fumbles. I don't know if I've ever seen a cornerback play here that can do the things Avion Terrell can when it comes to peanut punching the ball out. Peanut Tillman's one of the only guys I've seen do it better at any level of football consistently than Avion Terrell. He wraps up, someone wraps up, and Terrell's able to punch the ball out consistently, and he's done that all year long. That's a fundamental thing that they teach you as a corner. You got to be able to tackle, and you got to be able to knock the ball out, and he's been able to do that all year long. His tackling was sound in this game. The corners, the starting corners at least, let's put a disclaimer on that, tackled well in this game. The safeties tackled well in this game. Cleo Barnes only got put in the dirt once. That's a step up from the Louisville game when it happened twice. So you made a major jump forward in the fundamental stuff. You did the things that this team has been, or this fan base has been yelling about and clamoring for all year long, and it finally showed signs of a Tom Allen defense that doesn't give up extra yards for no apparent reason. They gave up a lot of extra yards last year against the South Carolina team, especially on the ground, for no apparent reason. That did not happen yesterday. Biggest thing for me, for sure, was the fact that they simply brought guys down fundamentally and took them to ground when they got to them. I think if you don't do that, you lose the football game. That was the number one thing they had to do going in, and they did it.
Yeah, and it just so many times with the run game, you know, in addition to clogging the holes, when South Carolina did try to bounce something, you were able to bring them to the ground, like you said, and that is something that you just did not do last year really at all. And then, you know, you're talking about Avion Terrell punching the ball out. Avion gets injured in the game, and I'm just being honest with you, Sam. He's the only secondary player I've got a lot of confidence in. And I'm watching intently as he goes to the locker room and then watching him warm up after halftime or try to warm up. And then, you know, I'm seeing him talking to somebody and just, you know, shaking his head like I'm not going to be able to go. And I didn't feel great about it because, you know, he's – we knew that South Carolina's receivers were going to be an issue if they had time to if you had time to throw the ball, and you saw that a couple times. I thought, okay, South Carolina's going to go 12 personnel, and they're just going to throw the ball to Nick Harbor deep because they know Clemson doesn't have anybody who can defend him deep. To Clemson's now, there were some times that Clemson was in some coverages. They were in some man coverage, some press man that I was really nervous. Like, man, you are three steps away from getting smoked here again. Other times, though, you had a safety that was 20 yards down the field, it felt like at times. I thought Clemson did a good job of mixing it up. They took some chances, but it felt like, especially in the second half, when they realized they could get pressure on Sellers and that's how they were going to beat the deep pass, that's what they went with, and it worked every time. Every time. He just did not have time to hit that deep route.
Yeah, and really for me, and we'll knock on the secondary here, because I thought the starters in the secondary were fantastic. We talk about Ricardo Jones' pick six, and we're going to talk about it for a while because that's a huge play, a swing play, after a coaching decision where I'm sure there were some people that wanted Dabo Swinney to send Nolan Hoosier out there to kick that long field goal to try and make it 23-14. He chooses to punt, pin South Carolina back, make them go 90-plus yards to get the game back in their direction. And what comes out? What happens? Ashton Hampton, who has been very up and down. Ashton Hampton has been up and down all season long. Ashton Hampton goes up there on Nick Harbor, gets a hand in there on a little dig route, and just knocks the ball out. And he knocks it up in the air and tip drills it for Ricardo Jones. Ricardo did the work on the return. Hampton made that play possible. And with Terrell in and out of this game, injured, banged up, not at 100%, Ashton Hampton had to play a darn near perfect second half to account for not only the speed of Nick Harbor, which frankly nobody in the secondary other than he and Terrell can account for, but also the size of Nick Harbor. That's a humongous man who runs a 4.25 probably. So for Hampton to stay with him and slow him down in the second half and make that play happen is indicative of what was the best half of his season and one of the best halves of his career. Jones was fantastic. Ronan Hanifin forced a fumble in this game as well. They made Nick Harbor uncomfortable in the second half of what was one of his best offensive performances of the year. The secondary did its job. Now, there are some bad things in the secondary, and there are just some players that I don't think are good enough to play at this level consistently. Jaden Lucas didn't play all year for a reason. Jaden Lucas comes into this game. Lenora Sellers hits a whole shot in cover two. Good night. I mean, that he gets like five snaps and bad things happen in those snaps. I don't think he's going to be playing here next year. So there's one thing. Brandon Strozier, he made some plays in this game. I don't think he's good enough in coverage. They played whoever offense on him a few times. There are just some guys in the secondary that either need a ton of development or aren't quite there right now. But the starters did their job in this game. The safeties played well. Khalil Barnes was okay in the up in the box, I think, stepping up and kind of run-fitting sometimes as well. I thought he played fine. You didn't really notice him too often in this game, and that's been a problem at times this season. So the secondary did what it needed to do. Whole second half of this game, South Carolina couldn't score a point. The raw stats are there for Lenora Sellers. He threw for 381 yards. He had a couple touchdowns, had a couple picks. One of those probably wasn't an interception, but it was a bad throw in Ricardo Jones' direction coming over anyway in the end zone. So the secondary did its job. It came together. There were only a couple busts in this game. I find it very difficult to even really get on them for the Harbor touchdown because Lenora Sellers, for all of his faults, throws a beautiful deep ball, and Nick Harbor is way faster than anybody on the planet, yeah, pretty much.
I told Quark on Friday, I was willing to give one of those because I just felt like it was going to happen. They do that every game, and strength versus weakness. I was very concerned about that particular play. It's like, as long as it's once, maybe you're okay. Even twice. And the second one should not have happened. The first one is all Nick Harbor. I mean, all Lenora Sellers, all Nick Harbor.
It's just faster.
And they're faster. Sellers had time to throw that one, and he threw a beautiful ball. You tip your hat. Like, yeah, there you got us. There's your touchdown. I was worried that was going to happen over and over. And, to Clemson's credit, it didn't. And I say to Clemson's credit, I'm interested to hear from the South Carolina fan today. What was I watching from your team Saturday? because I wasn't positive that Clemson was better than South Carolina. I thought they were. Wasn't positive they were. Sam and South Carolina fans out there, tell me I'm wrong. I felt like Clemson was better everywhere in that particular game. I mean, everywhere. I don't know where South Carolina had an advantage, and I was stunned by that. I was stunned that a depleted offensive line of Clemson, I mean, basically had five guys, and they gave Cade a clean pocket pretty much all day long. I mean, where was that defensive line that I've been told about, that I was told about last week before this game? Where were they? Where was the offensive line that was going to stop Clemson's defensive line that Troy stopped, for crying out loud? Like, I didn't feel like South Carolina quit. I felt like the players played hard. How did that happen? I mean, I'm genuinely questioning what I saw.
Well, I was excited for this show partially because I do want to hear from South Carolina fans, because we got a lot of South Carolina fans who are sick of it and don't want to deal with it anymore and don't like what they're watching for good reason. 864-654-ROAR is the number. Phone lines or Adams & Co. Roofing text line. Please let me know what's wrong with your program. We've let you know what's wrong with ours. Please tell us what's wrong with yours. They just didn't play. Their players aren't good enough. In a lot of ways, it was the same thing for Clemson for a lot of the year this year. I don't feel like the players are good enough. I don't feel like they're very well coached right now. This is a team with South Carolina, and this ties into Clemson's defensive strategy a little bit, where you know they can't run the ball. They're a bad running team. They've been a bad running team for the most part for a long time now. And Sellers brings you a little bit of difference-making potential there as a quarterback, but they don't run the ball very well with their running backs behind that offensive line that's been bad all year. Funnily enough, Faison had 5 carries in this game for 7.5 yards per tote. They just didn't give him the ball. He didn't have the ball. Clemson sold out on the run and knew they were going to struggle with the run, but he had a couple plays early in the game where he got up the middle and got some space and got into the second and third levels, and they just did not run the ball. Would it have been successful in a larger sample size? Probably not. It hasn't been all year. He doesn't have 400 yards on the season, and he's their leading rusher in the running back room. But they averaged seven-plus yards per carry with him getting the ball early in the game and just kind of jumped away from it and turned into a one-dimensional football team only throwing the ball with Sellers. That's not a strategy that's going to win you a game, because Clemson can just drop back, and they didn't give up a ton over top after those two plays, really anything over top. And while Jacobs and Harbor had a couple, you know, underneath plays in the middle of the field and Jaden Sellers where, yeah, they get 7 or 8 yards, Clemson handled their business on third down, forced them into a lot of third down and longs, and I believe it was something like 1 of 11 for South Carolina on third downs in this game. When push came to shove, you knew South Carolina wasn't going to run the football, and you knew Clemson knew that, and they went out there and they played good coverage, they dropped their linebackers back, and they handled their business. I just think making your offense that one-dimensional, if you're the Gamecocks, kills you in a game where the other defensive coordinator has a brain. And that's what we saw here today. They were able to drop by, or they were able to drop back in coverage, and they were able to let stuff work underneath, and then when they needed to, they would force a turnover, and they wouldn't get beat over top 3 quarters in this game.
But it was a middle-of-the-pack ACC team,
yeah,
that has not been good. Again, how does that happen? Because, I mean, I was told a lot last week that it just could not happen.
It's none of it was great. And we're going to talk a little bit about the defensive line here for Clemson on the other side of a quick break, because TJ Parker has caught his very fair share of slack this season. He's a highly paid, highly touted NFL draft prospect going into the year, and he has not been good enough. Straight up, has not been good enough. He was good enough in this game. One of the best games of his career. Will Helt has been good all year long. Will Helt was good again in this game. I believe it was 4.5 sacks between the two of them, 5.5 tackles for a loss. They got consistent pressure on Sellers. They made him uncomfortable even though he put up the raw stats. And they were so good at just beating these tackles into the ground for the entirety of this game that it made it extremely difficult for South Carolina to generate anything deep down the field consistently after that Harbor deep shot, because they didn't have the time to do it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the defensive line at some point here today and how they finally exceeded expectations in this game. lot of stuff to get to. We haven't even started to talk about the offensive side of the ball for Clemson and the defensive side for South Carolina. Once again, out of bounds, Sam Jones filling in for William Quackenbush today while he is on travel delay in the Bahamas. Ben Milstead, as always, stick around. We will be right back.
Industrial Motor Service keeps production lines moving. Just ask Champion Aerospace.
It's always a pleasure talking with the staff at IMS. Every interaction is professional and courteous. They've helped us through many emergency situations. Always quick to respond for pickup, repair, and delivery.
For reliable service, expert repair, and a team that's there when you need them the most, trust Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com. Industrial Motor Service. Trusted, tested, dependable.
Hey, it's Walt here. Wings, Weck, and wall-to-wall sports. That's Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Malden. Buffalo, New York flavor right here in the upstate. Crispy wings, stone oven pizza, and the famous beef on Weck. Juicy roast beef on a salty caraway bun with au juice. Big screens, cold beer, Friday fish fry, family friendly, and just off 385. Moretti's, your new hangout where everyone's a regular.
This winter, save big with Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Upgrade to an energy-efficient Armstrong air system and get up to $2,000 in federal tax credits before January 1st. Plus, choose 60 months no-interest financing or up to $2,000 in rebates on select heat pumps that may also qualify for utility rebates. That's real money back and long-term savings on your energy bills. Schedule your free estimate today at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, engineered comfort solutions.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
Get ready for the City of Malden's annual Christmas Parade, Saturday, December 6th at 2 p.m., brought to you by the Malden Chamber of Commerce. It all kicks off at the Golden Strip Career Center, rolls down Holland Road, and wraps up at Bridgeway Station. Enjoy marching bands, ROTC cadets, fire trucks, floats, a rolling car show, and plenty more. For the best view, grab your spot anywhere along Holland Road. Celebrate a season of joy presented by the Roar FM. Details at maldenchamber.org.
Elevate your holiday feast and treat your guests to more than just a meal. Serve them a story of care, quality, and craftsmanship from AMPM Farms Butchery and Market. Bring the farm-to-table philosophy to every cut, sourcing premium meats from local and regional partners who share their commitment to integrity and flavor. Each selection is chosen for taste because your table deserves better than supermarket standards. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, Southern hospitality you can taste.
If insurance companies coach football, they'd run the clock, fake injuries, and bench you without warning. I'm Trey Mills, and at Trammell & Mills Law Firm, we don't play scared. You've been hurt in a wreck or on the job? We bring the pressure, every down, every snap. You call us, we go no huddle on the insurance company.
Blue 89, don't let insurance companies deny, delay, defend. What?
Call 864-485-8585 or visit us at TrammellandMills.com. Make sure you pick the right legal team for your injuries.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Klubnik takes out. Going to take one, try to throw. Avoids the rush. Fumbled it. Picks it back up. Comes left side with it. Does he have the speed to get the end zone? He got to the end zone. Touchdown.
Wow.
He fumbled and then picked it up. Came left side and outran the defender.
Wow.
What a stupid play. Stupid play.
There's no need to sugarcoat the word there. I mean, that was just a dumb play that worked. We're gonna talk about the offensive side of the ball is a little less rosy than the first hour of the program with the defensive side of the ball will be, and that's why we've waited a little bit. I wanted to start on the high note. Offense did enough. They won the game. Want to tell you guys about PhD Weight Loss. Right now, PhD Weight Loss is making it easy to start before the new year with a bonus designed to get you moving now. They're adding 2 free weeks to your program, and that means that you can ramp up during the holidays and start the new year already working towards your goals. You're going to roll into January feeling ahead. You're not going to feel behind, and you're going to hit the first month of the new year already losing, already feeling better, already in control. Their metabolic reset system teaches your body to burn fat first with no drugs, no starvation diets, and no endless workouts. Just a smarter, science-based system that fits real life. And when you mention 2 weeks on the phone, they'll waive your consultation fee and pay for the cost of your food during the program. There's no need to wait. There's no reason to repeat last year. Call PhD Weight Loss today and start 2026 already ahead at 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900, or go to myphdweightloss.com. 864-654-ROAR is the number. I want to hear from Clemson fans today. I want to hear from South Carolina fans today. I want to know what's wrong with the programs, what's right with the programs. And we've got a bunch of callers on hold now. And we're going to start with Dan, who is in Greenville and patiently waited through the break. Dan, I appreciate you calling in. Happy Monday, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, guys, and welcome to December. Yeah, I got 2 questions. I got on a little late, didn't hear it start. You may have covered these already. I can take them offline, but 2 questions. What was the math and the process that got Duke into the conference championship game? And second question, what are our most likely bowls that we'll be able to get to? I got to think our reputation and our reputation for traveling well will help us out. But if you can cover those two, I'll sit here and listen if I can find a place to park.
Dan,
okay, thank you, guys.
I appreciate you calling in, and have a great rest of your day, my man. The Duke ACC championship thing, which we're going to get to in more detail a little bit later, is a disaster, first of all, for the ACC. But I believe, Ben, it was something like the 5th tiebreaker in the line gets Duke into the championship game here, and I'm going to try and find it specifically as we go along here. And, Dan, keep listening. I'm going to answer that question at some point here when I can do more research on it during a break.
There were 5 teams tied at 6-2.
Yeah, and you can make a pretty good argument that the worst one is going to be playing in the ACC championship game with a chance at, I would say, an auto bid, but they're not going to get the bid if they win the game.
Yeah. By the way, let me give credit to, I think it was Everlasting Earl on Twitter, who reminded me and the ACC that, remember the horrible play at the end of the Duke, the horrible call at the end of the Clemson-Duke game?
Mm-hmm.
That on 4th down, that would have given Clemson the ball back and ended the game. The AC, I think Earl said, Dabo paid the fine. The whole league is paying the price, because had that call gone like it should have gone, it doesn't change things for Clemson in terms of the ACC championship, but certainly changes things for the rest of the league. And Duke is not in, so the ACC is going to pay for that missed call.
I have seen quite a few people, and I can't fully say I disagree, say that the ACC should do what the Big Ten did in 2020 during the COVID year and amend their rules for 1 year to try and get Miami in that game. You can't do that. You just can't do it. COVID year was a lot different. A lot of stuff happening outside of football that you couldn't predict. This is the bed that you've made if you're the ACC, and you kind of have to lay in it. We talked about it all year. The ACC's not good enough this year. They really did need Clemson or Miami to be very, very good this year and be a shoe-in playoff team. Neither of those two teams did that. And in Miami's case, their losses happened to come in ACC play. And in Duke's case, they happened to lose to UConn and lose to non-con teams and survive long enough in ACC play and navigate their way through, for better or worse, that Clemson game and a couple other games. And here we are. They shouldn't be here. They're not a good enough team to be in this situation, and they won't be a playoff team if they beat Virginia next week. But they're here.
But in conference play, they did what they were supposed to do.
They won.
Unfortunately, they lost 3 non-con that it looks terrible. But on the bowl part, real quick, there's about 8 different national publications.
Yeah.
And here's a summary of what everybody is predicting. December 19th, Gasparilla Bowl versus South Florida. December 27th, Fenway Bowl versus Army. December 27th, Pinstripe Bowl versus Nebraska or Illinois. Pop-Tart Bowl in Arizona. I do not think that one is going to happen. That is also a December 27th. December 29th, Birmingham Bowl versus James Madison. D- December 31st, a Sun Bowl versus Arizona State. And then finally, January 2nd, Duke's Mayo versus Missouri. So there's predictions for seven different bowls there, and it may not even be any of those.
So to answer the question that I'm sure we'll get elsewhere during the show and you guys will get all week, we have no freaking clue what bowl they're going to be playing in, Ben, but they're going to be playing in one. And a month ago, I'm not sure we would have talked about it that way. We're going to go to Scott in Greenville next. Scott, appreciate you calling in. As always, how you doing today, man?
The official Sam. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man.
What a great weekend.
Isn't it?
For me personally. I had my Tigers win, my Cowboys beat the Chiefs, Thanksgiving Day. The only disappointment was my son. I don't know if I've told you now, he works at Mississippi State. And we were able to see him in a drive-by Wednesday night. And the clown brings in a bunch of cowbells for all my grandkids. That's what the favorite uncle does, you know. He drops off a bunch of cowbells for all these three-year-olds running around. And then he had to take back off. But they lose. I was hoping they were going to be a knockoff lane. I thought it all matched up well, them needing the win for a bowl berth and all the hype with Lane all week. I thought it matched up well for a win. They just couldn't get it done. But outside of that, it was a great weekend for sports. Anytime the Chickens lose, especially when they lose to us, it's a great weekend. But I was laughing a while ago when the stupid play was being called on the radio. Doesn't that sum up Clemson Cade's season just in one play?
Yes, perfectly. Like,
perfect play for all of that. And it's exciting to see what's coming behind him. I'm hoping that Denson's around. I don't think Denson's going to be ready till 27, but it's interesting that we get to, as of right now, could change, but as of right now, we open with Lane, and then we also get the Virginia Tech coach coming in as well. His name escapes me for whatever reason.
James Franklin.
We get him coming to town. We got Belichick coming to town, so we got a lot of high profile coaches on the schedule this year. And then I'm not sure if we play NC State or not, but I saw that they're keeping Dave Dorn around, which is kind of funny. But anyway, want to get your take on some of that.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling in, Scott. As always, have a great rest of your day, my man, and thanks for calling.
Yeah,
first of all, on the Egg Bowl stuff, I think it would have made the committee's life a lot easier if Mississippi State would have just won that football game, because they're going to have a fun week of trying to justify Ole Miss being in there despite having an interim. I guess he's not an interim head coach anymore, got promoted full-time, but have a new head coach in with a lot of the offensive staff missing. Mississippi State winning that game would have solved that, but it turns out Ole Miss is still a pretty good football team, Kiffin stuff notwithstanding. We're going to get deeper into the weeds on Cade Klubnik a little bit later, probably in the next segment, honestly, but I wrote in my notes, this was the most Cade Klubnik football game in the history of Cade Klubnik football games. The first sentence I wrote was he was all over the place. He was all over the place. The first quarter was bad. He overthrew a touchdown to Antonio Williams, where Williams was standing a whole state away from the next closest defender. And then he underthrows Adam Randall on a touchdown that a better quarterback would have thrown the very next play, and it gets intercepted. And then, God forbid, they dribble the ball like a basketball, like Ian Shefflin, and Cade finds a way to run east to west across the entire goal line and get into the end zone, and that's his only score of the game. Turns it over once, he scores once, the touchdown is the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen, and the interception is a throw that you sit there wondering, wow, would someone else would have made that throw? That's what Cade Klubnik's whole season has been. It's been disappointing in a lot of ways. He's made some splash plays. He's done some things where you think, wow, this is the quarterback we had last year that looked really good down the stretch and looked really good against Texas. And then he's made some throws that make you say, this is the quarterback we saw 2 years ago who had one disaster turnover a game, had a disaster turnover at the end of the South Carolina game last year, and just wasn't ever consistent enough to win at a high level here. And that's what Cade Klubnik was.
Yeah, I mean, his shortcomings are well documented, though. He's gonna play, we assume, one more game for Clemson. So, I think he's been beat down enough this year. And Saturday, he did some really good things and did some really not so good things.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
And that's what I expected. I mean, that's been his whole career.
It's a microcosm of the 4 years or the 3+ years that he played here. I mean, he made some plays. He made some really nice throws. He made an atrocious throw on the pick. He missed the touchdown. Yeah. He scored a ridiculous touchdown. And in the end, he did enough to leave you wanting more, but he also did enough to win the football game.
And he's not alone, though. I mean, there's a lot of players, there's a lot of starters on this roster that we could say the exact same thing about.
Absolutely.
It's not just Cade.
Absolutely. You never knew over the last 3-plus years what you were going to get on any given play, I think except for a 4 or 5-game stretch down the end of the last season, Ben, where he played really, really well against SMU for the first half, especially against Texas. He was fantastic in that game and kept them in the game. And against ACC opponents down the stretch, he did everything he needed to do. That was the only stretch of really good consistency we saw from him. And then this year, it was just up and down. But at the end of the day, he played 3 good quarters in this game, I thought, the other day. Did enough to win. Kept the ball out of harm's way from the second quarter on. And ran the offense as tight as you needed it to run. So, job done. They won the game. Can't complain about scoring touchdowns. We're going to go to Darren and Pickens before we go to break here. Darren, I appreciate you holding on, man. How you doing today?
Hey guys. As far as the game was concerned, you know, as a South Carolina fan, I don't know what to say. It's extremely frustrating and disappointing, and the people I've talked to are just sick of it, absolutely sick of it. And to me, it's a sad thing that a big school that spends a lot of money like that cannot do any better than they're doing. I don't know that it is fixable, to be honest with you. I mean, everybody's going to have an opinion of what's wrong, and it's just that. It's just an opinion. But who knows what it would take. I think you got some great ball players on the team. And I don't know what the problem is, but it's year after year after year. It's the same thing. And I just think it's part of who they are. It's just a mediocre football team. And it's for the most part, it's always been that way. And I don't know that there's anything that can be done to fix it. Honestly, I don't care what coach comes in. You had Spurrier, who did better for about 3 years, and you know, you go from a really nice season last year that wasn't expected, and, you know, you think, okay, well, let's at least equal what they did last year, and it was absolutely beyond pathetic. And, you know, Clemson's an average football team. They disappointed a lot of people this year. They're supposed to be in the playoffs, but they're disappointing. And then South Carolina plays like, well, what are we doing out here? I know they played hard. They got I don't know. I don't even know where else to go. But before I say enough, I'm going to try to get by the studios. I got something for you guys, dropping off something for y'all today.
Well, we appreciate it, Darren. We appreciate the call.
Absolutely, guys. Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate it, Darren. I got to go to break real quick. General thing on South Carolina, I don't even think they're an average team. I think they're a below average team this year, and they were really a good team last year. They were on the crux of a playoff bid last year. A couple things go their way, they're in the playoff. The jump from last year to this year, skill-wise and what we saw on the field, astronomical. Completely different football team. Hour number 2, we're going to talk some offense. We're going to talk about the offense in this game. Stick around, we'll be right back. WCCP.